WDUI.
Hey Pete, what's up? Oh, not too much. I don't know if there was a net or not. I was running in and out, putting stuff in the car or taking stuff out of the car, looking for some radio stuff for Saturday communications event.
I wouldn't know. I missed the net too if there was one. I just noticed it was 8 minutes after nine. I'm going, gee, I wonder if the net's still going on. So I went out and grabbed my radio.
I didn't change frequencies. I was in the Lowville net, and I should have just immediately flipped the memory, and I didn't do that. So if there was one, it was pretty short. Pretty hot still here in Glenfield, especially in the house.
Yeah, just didn't want to cool off last night. We closed everything up, turned on the air conditioner. We picked up a central air conditioning unit at a yard sale for $400. We had two of them. One was brand new in a box, and one was brand new without a box. And the one without the box was $100 less. I just want to take the one without the box.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, I never put mine in, and I don't think I'm going to have to. I think, I suspect that maybe the temperature will creep back up, but I think the next week or so looks good, and usually, you know, generally speaking, it tends to go down, so... my technique has been, when I could, is just get the heck out of here and go up to Lake Pleasant. If it starts going up, I'll put the air conditioner in, but I'd rather have the windows open even if it's a little on the warm side. So far, actually, every night that I've been here, it's cool, even though it's been hot, it has not been uncomfortable sleeping. That real hot, the wet weather, I spend most of that up home and slept on the porch, and you know, it was a little damp, but it was reasonably comfortable. But here, you know, I was gone the last couple days, but I kind of dragged an extra day. I probably wouldn't have come home today, except I had that eye doctor's appointment this morning. But it wasn't too bad, you know. The biggest thing is just rushing around in the house and working on stuff, and you get hot real fast.
Yeah, well, we used to have just one 5,000 BTU, $15 yard sale air conditioner. Basically, all it needed was a garden hose treatment and a new thermostat. And it obviously wouldn't cool the whole house down, but it dehumidified enough that it made it very, very livable inside. We used that for years, and then we used it out in the shop for quite a few years after that, and I think it finally died about 2 years ago. I was amazed at how big a difference that one little tiny window air conditioner made. This just affects the low humidity, even though the temperature difference wasn't a huge amount. Made a big difference.
Part of the house, the real back, you know, there's just not enough airflow. That ends up being a little warm, but it doesn't really get the bedroom. And so a few years later, I bought a small one for the bedroom, and a lot of times when I did put them in, I wouldn't do the main house if it was hot during the day, as long as it wasn't totally unbearable, or maybe I could escape for a few hours. I just have the windows open, I work on the porch and that kind of stuff, which you couldn't really do. You'd have to either work all on the porch or all inside, because going between in and out with the air conditioner and the 10 degrees or 20 degrees or whatever difference, is just, that was miserable. But what I do is I shut the bedroom door, shut the bedroom window, pull the shades, all that, put the air conditioner on there in the morning, let it run all day so that it never got too hot, and then maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night, whenever I went to bed, I just turned it off, opened the windows. And at least you got the, you know, it ended up being a little damper that way, but it, It was fresh air anyway.
Yeah, we're on Niagara Mohawk. We don't like leaving air conditioners running all day when nobody's here to enjoy it. If I were to do it again, I'd put in one of those whole house fans that goes up in the attic. And, you know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, you just flick a switch. And it does a total air exchange to your house in less than 5 minutes. And just brings the cool breeze in all the screen windows. Cools everything down nice and a lot cheaper than an air conditioner. And most nights, that's all you need. We've had summers here in Boonville that we've never even bothered turning on the air conditioning, or if we did, it was only for like 2 days. We've doubled that already this week.
Yeah, my grandfather, my father's father, had a big window fan, basically, but a, you know, huge honking fan with a big motor and a, you know, belt drive, which I had when I was in Syracuse. I'm afraid that I left it there in my townhouse, but that's, you know, the real big blades and not real fast, but I mean, it would, you know, it would pull all the air through the house real quick. But he had that in his attic window, and I don't know if he had it on a timer or not. I don't remember that, but I did when I was in Syracuse. I just used a lamp timer and then a big relay to handle the, you know, the high current for the motor, and I would have it turn on and you know, even if I wasn't there. I think that it's unfortunate if I didn't take that with me. It could be up in my dad's attic, but I think it's gone. And the problem here is I don't have a window to put it in, and you know, I don't have a, I'd have to cut a hole in the ceiling somewhere to make it work in the attic. But yeah, that works really, really good. Like you say, a lot cheaper than an air conditioner, and except for maybe a few nights, it's all you need.
Yeah, well, what would work good is my dad used to use an old furnace blower, a belt drive furnace blower. They're quiet, and you move a squirrel cage, and they move a lot of air. And, again, you just have to have a way to close it when you don't want to lose, get the air exchange in the wintertime.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he did. What I did was I built a shelf, and I just set the thing on the shelf in front of the windowsill, and I just took it out in the winter, and I think I stored it in the corner of the room because I wasn't going to carry it up and downstairs. But his was in the attic, and I think he did something similar. He just had it on a big shelf, and you know, just moved it back 3 inches and shut the window, what I can remember, but that's all that's necessary. I got something. I was going to try just, you know, pulling air through my attic to just cool the air that's up there, even though the ceiling's insulated. I still figured that would help a little. In fact, I'd never gotten up there this summer to open the windows in the front and put the screen in, so I don't know how much it helped. I tried that a couple of years. I think it helps a little bit. If I had a two-story house, if I had, I got a little access, but it's kind of over the basement stairs behind the door, so it doesn't do me any good. But if I had a, you know, like pull-down stairs or something in the main part of the house, I think that would work real good. But I just pull it from the front to the back with a box fan, and it's an old box fan from Kmart. I bet I've had that 30 years and it just keeps going.
Yeah, well, the Chinese ones that you buy nowadays don't last that long. I was surprised when, now we had one that died after 2 years, and I couldn't believe how little I'd used it and how short it lived. that it was just one of those plastic Walmart specials.
I've got a Delasco fan that I bought somewhere here. I don't know if it was Ames or if it was the Lowellville Farmers Co-op. More probably one of those two places. I think it was before Walmart. I've had that for several years, and I run it, you know, not a ton, but it seems to run real good. Well, no, I do. I run, you know what I do in the winter? I put it where my wood stove is. I got it on not a fancy speed control, an actual variac, and I run it at real low speed. So that thing actually turns, you know, it's got thousands of hours on it because it runs, you know, a lot in the winter, but it's running at less than low speed, so it's quiet, usually, unless I come back and the house is cold and I crank the fire up, sometimes I'll blast it a little higher. That's held up, too, but you get what you pay for.
Yeah, well, stuff like that, sometimes it's better to find one at a garage sale. We've got some, maybe the exception would be the toaster. I got a $15 toaster that works better than any $60 toaster I ever had 20 years ago.
Speaking of toasters, I have another box fan, which I've never seen this that size. You know, all the ones you see, these big things, or else the little, I don't know, 10 inches or whatever they are. But I've got one that's in between, and it'll sit nicely on the windowsill with the window all the way open. And it's old metal frame, metal blades, two speed. I think that's a Toastmaster. And I bought this thing in Forestport at the, you know, the old church there, the flea marketplace, I think for $1. And I took the whole thing apart and I cleaned it up. I think I had a little sandblaster at the time. I might have actually sandblasted the metal. And I spray painted it a nice kind of olivey green. And it works great. And that's another one I use in the winter at low speed. And, you know, the old fans like that, they actually have a place that you can, you know, drop some oil in there and lubricate them. And I've had that for 12 years, and I use that a lot, too. It works great.
So your house doesn't have an attic, doesn't have a crawl space or anything?
Yeah, it has an attic, but it's a single-story house, so basically I got the ceiling, and above that, you know, I've got the attic, but there's no, and the way to get to it is a square access. There's basically a ladder straight up on the side of the wall. It's hazardous, really. If you go into my, down the stairs of the basement, which are real steep, and you just turn to the left and walk up the wall, basically, through this hatch. And the basement, I only got one-third of a full basement. The other two-thirds in the main part of the house is a high crawl space, about 3-4 feet. It's not bad, but where the attic, you know, the opening to the attic is behind the door to the basement, so it doesn't do me any good. All it'll do is pull the cool air that's in the basement up to the attic. You know, even if I left the door open, it wouldn't pull much from the main house. I'd have to, put a tarp or some kind of block off the basement. It's not a practical thing.
Well, we actually set up an old furnace blower in our basement. Basically, you take the window out in the summertime and replace it with a piece of plywood with blower on it. And our attic has no floor, and it's you've got, I don't know, 10 or 11, 12 inches of cellulose blowing insulation in there. And yeah, you can go up there and run wires or something, but it isn't a usable attic. but even having the blower in the basement, it worked good. It worked good. It'd give you a nice breeze, and again, you didn't have to listen to the fan.
Between the fact of being able to go up and visit the folks, and sometimes I can't because I got work to do, but you know I can usually escape before too long, and the fact that it usually doesn't last too long, and some summers like last summer, you know, there was no need. I live with it, but yeah, it would be nice. I just the whole house fan thing, that would be the perfect. I would be really happy if I could do that without having to kind of put the fan in the window and take it out kind of thing. But the system works pretty good.
Yeah, and we got the ceiling fan over the wood stove and use that in the winter time to circulate the heat from the wood stove, and summertime that circulates the air-conditioned air so that it's relatively uniform. That seems to work pretty good, and ceiling fans are pretty quiet.
Yeah, we have one of those on our front porch. We don't get a lot at the air. The wind's coming in from the lake, yeah, but the prevailing wind's the other way. And, boy, it's really dead quiet. You know, you can hear that it's going, but it's pretty good. That thing's been hanging on our porch for 20 years, I think. And must have been a good one. I don't think it was that expensive a one when my father bought it, but it keeps working. So, and once in a while we have to turn that on. Seems funny to put it on a porch that's open, but the air just gets dead when it's like it's this hot. You need it.
So how much cooler is it usually at camp than it is in Glenfield?
Well, you know, hot days like this during the day, it might, if you're actually sort of standing out in the sun in the yard, it may be somewhat close. But if you're in the woods, like what my favorite thing to do is take off either in a boat or hike over to, there's a lake called Fawn Lake, go for a swim, you know, go out in the sun in the morning, and then take my little pocket hammock and put it between two trees and take a nap, and you get the breeze from the lake, and it's probably 20 degrees cooler, and then it's always cooler at night. You know, it cools down a lot more at night. Plus, I usually sleep on the porch, so that makes it even better. So it's a lot more pleasant most of the time.
Are the bugs up there worse than usual?
Yeah, the mosquitoes are pretty bad this year. You know, as soon as it got warm after the rain, they're pretty bad. In places, in our yard, they're bad. In the woods, they're not that bad. You know, it's spotty, but they're not. They're more aggravating in the yard and on the porch. We don't have screens on the porch. We had them, but the snow came off the roof, curled in. You know how it does, curled around and took them out, and we didn't replace them. We kind of like it without them because, you know, now looking through the screen, it's quite a bit nicer. But, and we, you know, we got to replace them all. Even the ones that didn't take out are kind of beat. So, yeah, there's places where they're bad, but usually when I'm out hiking, the deer flies are, you know, it's getting into deer fly time, but the mosquitoes and that aren't too bad in most places.
I was up to Acadia, Maine last week, and once the sun went down, oh boy, it's just like being in northern Canada. The mosquitoes, I guess they see an infrared. They literally swarm around you. You'd be standing in a fog of mosquitoes, thousands of them. And tiny, tiny mosquitoes, a lot smaller than the ones we have here, but man, they do their business quick. It doesn't take long. Once they land, by the time you slap them, they're already drawing blood.
Yeah, they're pretty big. My yard right here, they're as bad as anywhere. right? In this area in Glenfield, they're terrible. I went to the tractor supply, ended up at, and I got some mosquito spray, concentrated, you hook it on the hose, and boy, I'll tell you what, I've never done that, but they were just gone. It really worked, and they're starting to, you know, little by little, they start to come back, but when I first did it, it was like, you couldn't, the night before, I could not go outside. I mean, it was just, they were swarming, and the next day, when I did that, they were just gone. There wasn't a bug to be found, and there's a few of them, but, and the ones up in up home are pretty big, so I might try that up there too. I don't know. But yeah, in the evening, right around, you know, you get out there 7, 8, 9 o'clock, and that's when they're really bad.
At least we got 77 degrees here. I'm still waiting for it to cool down. We did get some rain though. You probably got some rain too this afternoon, didn't you?
There was no rain here. I was out at the fair for a while after my doctor's appointment there and a couple other things, and we had a nice breeze, and it got a little overcast, but we never had any rain, but I guess up north they had some. I'm looking at glasses. You know, I went to the eye doctor. I figured it was time. And I went a long time ago, and she gave me a prescription, and I looked at it, and I said, well, I don't think that's exactly right, because I know both eyes aren't the same. I went over to the Mead Optical there, and I said, well, okay, what's this going to cost me? And I'm like, oh, well, you want graduated bifocals, or, you know, $289 plus the frames, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, not to that. And I just, I've been basically using drugstore reading glasses, which worked. So I went today, and of course now my eyes are worse, you know, as I get older. But nothing wrong. No, I mean, she didn't find anything other than the normal, you know, aging. She said, your eyes look... She says, your eyes are the best I've seen today. I said, you told me that last time, and, you know, 10 years ago or 9 years ago. But I said, everybody else must really be blind. She said, well, you know, mostly older people. But whatever. So then I went over to the Mead Optical again, and I said, okay, give me, and she says, well, you know, she gave me a prescription, and it has both near and distant, and I said, you know, I'm not going to wear them for distance, certainly not when I'm out, you know, boating or snowmobiling or anything. And it's not bad enough that it bothered me. She says, well, you could just get reading glasses then. And, but, of course, I went to the Mead Optical, and they said, well, why? You want bifocal, or, yeah, you know. And, well, you should get the digital lenses. I said, oh, what's digital? Well, their computer, I guess they call them digital lenses, but the computer figures out how to grind them so that you got more peripheral vision. It doesn't get blurry as quick if you turn your eyes. And those are like $500, you know, and the bifocals are $300, and just the reading glasses are $85, plus the frames, you know, whatever. And I said, okay, thank you very much. But it sure seems to me that you should be able to beat that price. And the only trick would be getting the frames to fit to your head by doing them online. It's all cut and dry. This is, you know, what the specs are.
Well, I finally broke down and bought, you know, I've been doing the reading glasses thing for a few years now. It's kind of ridiculous to spend $300 on a set of glasses that are just going to get smashed in the top of a toolbox sooner or later, or sat on, or... But I finally did break down and buy some bifocal sunglasses, prescription, and they have both for distance and for close-up. And what, I love them. I just love them. Especially, I also got some for which are with a photo gray automatically change, and I wear those at night when I'm driving, and that way I can see the Garmin and read the map on the Garmin. And the daytime, you know, it's just like a camera lens. You have a much better depth of field in the bright light. But at night, road signs get kind of blurry if you don't have something. It makes a very substantial difference at night. Driving, and like you say, if you look down to read something, you know, that would be really nice. I'm just thinking that if you can figure out the fit to your, you know, to your head, I'm looking at some website here, and, you know, they're cheap. I mean, you know, you $15, and then, and who knows if these are any good. I don't know how you check these places out, but, you know, here's bifocals, progressive bifocals, if you it tells you, put in all the things from your prescription, left eye, right eye, you know, all the different things, and then they give you some options, and you can anti-scratch and anti-glare and UV and blah, 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 but you're still up to only 100, I don't know, bucks or so. It's almost worth a try versus $400 for progressive and $500 to have the computer, what they call the digital ones, I don't think, but it's, you know, I might...
You might want to try Adirondack Eye Care right here in Boonville. Regular bifocals prescription, around $100 a set, and the sunglasses were still under $200 with the frames, and they custom fit them to you. They have the hot glass beads. They stick the arms down into the glass beads, and it heats the plastic up, and they can actually shape it to get the proper fit.
That's when I figured I'd go to a couple places and get some other quotes, get some other prices, and see. Because, like you say, for driving, when you're looking down at something, that would be kind of nice. For working at the computer and that, well, you know, I don't know. It's probably just the reading glasses will be fine for that. But I just can't, $500, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you don't need digital, you don't need progressive lenses, you don't need all that stuff. And needless to say, no, it doesn't make it worth twice the money.
See, these, this particular place is not that much difference between, you know, standard bifocals and grad... they call progressive. It's not that big of a difference. It's not twice the price, you know. Like I think the Meade Optical figures they can get away with it there because people go to the, you know, the eye center there and then they get the glasses. And where else are you going to go in Louisville? And if you're an old person, you know, you're not going to drive to Boonville maybe, but you know, you're not going to go shop around that much. You're just going to get them.
KA2ZZ.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys, this is KA2ZZ for the United County Traffic and Emergency Net. Just doing a quick call up here. Looking for any stations that would like to check in. Where the without traffic stations coming up, please.
KC2NBU, good evening, no traffic.
KC2WI, no traffic.
Okay, Hey, KC2NBU, hi Ray, and KC2WI, hello Pete. Thank you both for checking in, appreciate it. Anyone else? Having a problem holding the repeater here tonight, I don't know what's wrong. Anyone else? I got NBU and WI, any other stations? Thank you both, appreciate it. Have a good evening, 73s, KA20NZ.
Yeah, I was just thinking it was getting to be about Oct-10 time.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about heading back up tonight, but it's too late. Got a triathlon Saturday if it doesn't rain to do radio for. So, I don't know how much rain it'll take to cancel that. If it was just a running race, it probably wouldn't be so bad, but of course, you know, if it was thunder and lightning, to cancel it for anything, probably, but certainly not going to be swimming. And if it's raining too hard, probably not a good thing to be bike racing. So I don't know, you know, probably partly a liability thing. We'll see what happens.
It's supposed to be hit and miss. Not everybody's going to get wet. And the people that do get wet, it's going to be short-lived. It's just going to be like today. We pop up thunderstorms, and 15 minutes later they'll blow over and it'll be gone.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hey, my dad says he's got some problems with his Mariner. Apparently the ABS light comes on and the whatever, and it chatters a little bit, and his guy looked at it and says he thinks it's a transmission, and then he checked into it. I guess he uses AMCO, and they said, yeah, there's enough problems with that model that we always have one of those in stock. I told him to call you, but does that sound like anything familiar?
Sure does. I can fix it for $100.
Been telling them for about this 3 days. Call Ray. Well, I'll tell him again that you said that and that he should call you.
Yeah, what happens is the ABS ring on one of the front wheels splits, and it causes an interruption in the signal and causes the anti-lock brakes to kick in until eventually it shuts the ABS system off and turns the light on. I can get the ABS rings for about $40, and you gotta, of course, pull the axle to install it. So you're looking at about an hour's worth of work. So it's less than $100 plus tax. And yeah, it is kind of a common problem, and no, I wouldn't be surprised if AMCO was more than happy to sell somebody a $2,000 transmission when all they need is a $40 part. Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Yeah. Well, I'll let them know. Anyway, I guess I gotta wrap things up here and call it a night. Close my car windows just in case and all that stuff. KC2WI.
KC2NBU, clear and listening.
Did you guys get the flooding up there that we got down in the Utica Rome area?
Oh, I'm at 1,350 feet. I figure by the time I flood, Utica will be under 1,000 feet of water. So we're up on the hill here. We once in a while get a wet basement, but that's about it.
Are you saying the only reason you leave home is if you could hitch a ride on Noah's Ark?
Could happen. You see some of the pictures down in New Hartford and down in Oneida. It was a mess down there. They had water 6 feet deep.
W2WKD. Yeah, I was just wondering if you had any lowlands up there that got it bad. I know I had heard a few people over in Sequoia said they had a river running right down their main street.
Yeah, we saw it on the news. They had airboats out there going down the street, and you just see the tops of the road signs.
Yeah, that's a quite quick creek right over there, and just before you get into the Clayville area and so forth, is they put a lot of riprap alongside of it, you know, just to keep down the erosion. But I guess they never anticipated any kind of or any amount of water like came. So it's only 3 or 4 feet, and it would be right up at road level.
Yep, it's kind of, yeah. It makes you think twice about getting waterfront property, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But at least it's temporary, you know. I guess nobody lost their life locally, so it's just a matter of property damage and a little effort to clean up.
A lot of effort to clean up. Most places, if the sheetrock gets wet, they have to gut it, because even if it dries out and it doesn't look too awful bad, you get mold growing in the walls.
Yeah, spray the walls with Clorox and stuck on the outside of it.
I don't know. We had a guy over by Moose River that a few years back, his basement flooded. I mean, flooded right to the top of the stairs. And a month later, all the walls turned green.
Oh yeah, you're totally right. I was just joking, of course, but stucco would cover up warped wallboard. Of course, it might look a little funny in somebody's basement room.
Yeah, won't get rid of the smell. That mildew smell is bad.
Yeah, once the mildew settles into plaster, you're never going to get it out. So are you in the Boonville area, or are you more over towards Old Forge?
I'm just a mile south of town of Boonville.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was quite that, the altitude was quite that high right around Boonville.
Yeah, the Boonville Airport is 1,240 feet, and we're about 100 feet higher than that.
Yeah, I guess you would be, because you come up Deerfield Hill, it's quite a jump, but it's also a very gradual increase after you get over Deerfield Hill, so it mounts up quickly. I just haven't been up that way in a long time, so it just didn't register on me.
Yeah, well, our repeater tower is up on Jackson Hill. It's a 90-foot tower. And Jackson Hill, I think, is about 1550, 1570. I can actually look out my back window, and if there was a light on the tower, I'd be able to see it out my back window.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that new repeater is working very nicely. I remember when they put it up a few months ago. Did a nice job.
You know, same old stuff, just new antenna wire is what we ended up, we found out the antenna wire was full of water.
Doesn't take long for antennas to fill up full of water. Now, if there's a way, the water will get in, especially up there where you get high winds working on it all the time, forces it right in those seams.
Yeah, well, we kept getting static, and one time I went up there during the net when I had a bunch of people listening, and I could actually make the static come and go by shaking the wire that goes between the shack and the tower. And so I figured it just had a bad spot in the wire. So we got a splice kit, and I cut 8 foot out of the part that swings in the breeze between the shack and the tower. And when I cut it to splice it, I got a bath, and the water just started coming right out.
Yeah, we used to use GE silicone, too, You can't use silicone 1 because it's too acidic. It'll lead into the coax. But GE silicone 2 is ammonia-based, and that is much more rugged than a lot of the coax gel they use.
Yeah, good old bathtub window caulk. Get it at the hardware store. Use it for everything. I use it for adhesive and sealant and making gaskets for differential plates, whatever. Good stuff. The Dow Corning stuff actually dries faster and costs a little bit less.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, you know, what you can use to replace expensive products. You know, that antenna gel is not cheap, and there's much else you can use it for. Is Lowville higher than you guys, or is it just over the mountain?
I'm not in the Lowville Club. I don't know how high their tower is. I would assume that they're higher than us. I'm sure they're higher than Boonville. Whether they're higher than Jackson Hill, I don't know.
Yeah, I was trying to think back. I used to go up at Snow Ridge and go skiing a lot. And I know you go uphill after you leave Boonville to get to Snow Ridge, and then you come back down to Lowville. But I know, back in those days, they didn't have GPSs, so you weren't able to keep a running record, so to speak.
DC2WI.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know the relative heights of the two repeater locations. Of course, you could look that up on the map. But, Boonville Town, I would say, is higher than Lowville Town. Or else they're pretty close, because the Black River flows down. The Black River isn't exactly in Boonville. I don't know what the difference in the elevation in Boonville Village is versus the Black River down in Hawkinsville. You go down a pretty good hill. But from there to Lowville, there's Lyons Falls and Falls and Port Lytton. So I would say if you were sitting in the middle of the village of Boonville or the village of Lowville, village of Lowville is probably quite a bit lower.
Yeah, that's what I asked. That's what I was thinking, is I used to go up to Snow Ridge and ski all the time, and of course you got to go up on the ridge. But then when you drop down the other side, you drop into Lowville. But back then they didn't have GPSs, you know. So it was just a matter of possible optical illusion. Is it lower? Is it higher? I just never happened to check it on a map. But I was just curious.
Well, yeah, if you go out of Boonville and over to Turin, I guess you kind of go up, you know, you go uphill from Boonville, but and it's probably gradual so you don't notice it. But then from Turin to down into Lowville, it's a real obvious downhill. I'm sure Turin's higher than Boonville, but the Black River is the Black River might not be that much lower from Lowville Village than it is from Boonville Village, and there's quite a few falls in between. It's a lot of flat water, but there's a couple of good drops there, so I'm sure Lowville is I don't know, I wouldn't guess if it's 100 feet lower, 200, I don't know what, 50, I don't know what, but it's definitely lower. KC2WI.
Yeah, thanks. I kind of thought that it might be, because I was thinking back to the drop when we used to run into Beach Nut and so forth from Turin, and I was kind of thinking of the drop-off going in. But like I say, it could be an optical